It's out of these things, when you worship me, that things change, says the Spirit of grace. But I'll come on you for the purpose of change at all times when you confess my word. But know this, that the confession of my word and your worship from a contrite heart are the things that I look for to bring forth permanent change and promotion, says the Spirit of grace. For my desire is to promote you, to bring forth your most holy faith so that things change in the spirit realm and in the physical, says the Spirit of grace. So take these opportunities. Speak the word. Speak that you're healed.
Yes.
Speak that you're delivered. Let the weak say, I'm strong, and come forth, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We speak it, Father.
Yes.
Lord, our bodies are healed.
Yes.
Our lives are transformed to another place of intimacy and fellowship. We're delivered by your glory and by your grace. We thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Just remember, I say this not only to you, but for all of us. Remember, the words of your mouth are so strong, are so important.
Yes, sir.
Correct yourself. Get under the blood. Two positive confessions do not negate one bad confession. Well, you can't chase a bad confession with a good confession, like, I'm going to say this, but I know everything's going to be all right. I'm sick as a dog, but I know everything's going to be okay. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. How we doing? Wonderful. Blessed be the Lord. We love you, Jesus. We glorify you. We magnify you. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your goodness. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why don't you go around? I'm so glad you're here with us. Get ready for communion this morning. We love you, Jesus. We love all of you, and we love all of you in here. Why don't you stand up, go around, and give everybody a great big hug. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing. Oftentimes we talk about we want the prayer of agreement, and I can understand that. We're talking about unity. But if you were on, and I'm not trying to go after somebody's pet doctrine, but a lot of times people are looking for somebody to agree with them. What if you were on a deserted island and there's nobody around?
Sir.
Hallelujah. And you had to live out the rest of your days. Would your prayers be limited because you couldn't get somebody to agree with you? Absolutely not. The prayer of agreement that we think of as prayer of agreement really is not the prayer of agreement Jesus, and I want to get into that, but he was talking about restoration, agreeing to restore a brother that was getting out of the way. And it's good for us to join together in unity of prayer. And I want us to have that unity of mind. They were with one mind and one accord in the upper room, and something happened, because something does happen in a unity type prayer. We know that. The church, and I say the church, I mean Israel, the shadow of the church, when it left Egypt, when it came out of Egypt, Psalms 105 verse 37 says that they spoiled them with, this is not exactly how it says, but they came out with much gold and silver and riches, and there was no feeble among them. No feeble among them. God did something incredible the night that he brought them out. It's a typification. It's a symbol of our salvation. The moment that you and I cross over into Christ and we begin, he was bringing forth the deliverance. The blood had been shed. The lamb had come, put on the doorpost. And they came out. And the Bible says there was no feeble among them. You think about 2 million, 1.5 million, I don't know, 1 million, 1.5 million Jewish people. And they came out. And in one night, incredibly enough, not only did the death angel come, but a healing came from God. So powerful that no matter how old you were, what your affliction was prior to that night, it got healed. They came out and there was no feebleness. That feebleness, really, if you go on, I believe, to study that, you'll find out that there was no infirmities of any sort. We're supposed to be, the only reason why I'm saying this is not to bring forth an indictment, but to elevate our faith, is to say we're supposed to be a people that live as signs and wonders above the world, so that the world looks at us and says, why is there no sickness in their life? Why is there no infirmity? And believe me, all of us are believing God for something. So this is no indictment to be healed in our body. But I'm telling you where he wants us to be and what we can believe for. Because if we always believe that there's always going to be something, then we're always going to be somehow below the top tier. I'm not going to lower the bar. Hallelujah. And you don't want that, right? You want the fullness of the truth. COVID, and this goes across the board for all of us. COVID identified where the body of Christ is at. It did. And many Christians that went on to heaven went there. But do you know, according to the truth that is in this word, really, the body of Christ at large, and some might say, well, Pastor, you know, you're the body of Christ at large, or his body that are walking in this word, are going to come to a place, because more plagues are coming on the earth as we get closer to the end time. But one of the signs and wonders is going to be, why are they not getting sick? Why are they escaping this? Now, if our mentality is like, we're just going to have to, you know, be like the rest of the world, then it'll come on us. And that doesn't make us unsaved. We're still covered by the blood of Jesus. We still go to heaven. But if we walk in a mentality that what he's provided for us, that we can stand in that place continually, and Jesus is our prototype. Hallelujah. Not one of the apostles ever died of sickness. None of them. None of the men that followed him in the Word of God, you find New Testament, that died of sickness or disease. Hallelujah. Some of you are looking at me like, yeah, but. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we're all facing things. I'm not telling you that I've arrived. I'm telling you, what's the bar? Jesus is the bar, what he's provided. Hallelujah. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 53. Just look at some things here. In a little bit, we're going to receive the body and the blood. And we thank you for it, Father. We love you, Jesus. Forever and a day, Lord, we proclaim your glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify you. Isaiah chapter 53. We make our confessions on the Word of God. We make our proclamations. We stand on the Word of God. The Word says here, and Isaiah prophesied 700 years. This is amazing how accurate he was by the Holy Ghost concerning the Lord, because we know that all these things happened according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, their true testimony of the life of Christ and as he was crucified and suffered. Isaiah 53:1 says this, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he," this is speaking of Christ, "shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Now look, this is our verses. "Surely he hath borne our griefs, and he's carried our sorrow." This all came on him for you, not just for the world, but you've got to say, that's for me. Everybody say, it's for me personally. If I'd been the only one, he would have done it just for me. "He carried our sorrows, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace with him and my peace in me was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Hallelujah. Peter, 1 Peter 2:24 says that we were healed, puts in the past, it's already been done. Hallelujah. Now, these bodies are going to one day lay down and give up the ghost, okay? You're not going to live forever. The best you can go is 120. That's what we're believing for around here. But it doesn't have to be sickness. It doesn't have to be disease. Hallelujah. So he says here, "With his stripes we are healed." The word "healed" here is the word "rapha" in the Hebrew, R-A-P-H-A-H. Or R-A-P-H-A. There's two ways to spell it, I guess. But it means to cure. This is where we get Jehovah Rapha, the God our healer, the Lord our healer. It means to cure. It means to heal. By his stripes we were cured. By his stripes we were healed. It gives the word physician. It means to repair. God will repair. I love instantaneous. I have had instantaneous miracles take place. I've seen God change things. I remember one time that Amber, when she was little, she had an excruciating earache. And I just took her in my arms and I began to worship God. I sat in the front room and God just touched her. And it immediately, there was an immediate change. Those things usually take hours. And as I began to worship God, Candy was praying, instantaneous almost. It was just amazing. I've seen instantaneous things take place. I saw Davey one time when we were here. Candy was bringing in food and groceries to the back. And it was at night, and there was a vagrant that was asleep in that corridor out there. And Davey walked out there. She was just a little kid. And she saw this guy laying there. He didn't harm her. She fell off the curb, and her ankle, the best that I can remember, went like this. It was so bad. I should have called 911. Mike, my used to be fireman son-in-law, would say, "My God, what did you do, Papa?" When I say this, I put her in the car and I started racing towards the hospital, flying like, I don't know, 100 miles an hour, maybe not that fast. Got pulled over. You will get pulled over if you're going that fast. You remember that, Davey? And I said, "My daughter," and he looked and I said, I think she's broke her ankle or something. I don't know. And he was looking. He goes, "Okay, I'm not going to give you a ticket." He could have put me in jail for what I was doing. But we just begin to worship God and just begin to speak his life. And something happened. A miracle took place. And when they x-rayed her, there was nothing there. It was incredible. The pain went away. Everything went away. So I've seen instantaneous miracles. But I can tell you also, he is also the curer. He will get in your body if it takes you just believing God, speaking God's word. Don't get off of it. Don't get off of it. Go to bed speaking it. Wake up. Go. If you get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, speak his word. You'll actually start dreaming his word if you speak it enough. Amen? Just stay in that place of speaking. Yes, sir. He said, yeah, he's reminding me as a child that I got healed. Thank you so much, sir. So his broken body is the thing that heals. That's the application. God has always been a God that desires to heal. But now in the New Testament, our application to healing is to, I want to say imagine, but it's more than imagery. It's to put that image of Christ broken. Him broken brings my cure. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Mel Gibson's movie really did not do it justice. Isaiah 53 or 52 said that he was marred more than the sons of men and all men. And all of that marring, all of that beating, everything that he went through was for the purpose of being able for me today in 2026, look to him and say, Lord, whatever you went through and however terrible that was, that is for my healing. That is for my healing. Now, yes, there is his chastisement. It says here he was the chastisement of my peace. He was, all of this is contained in that. And I'm not just trying to separate something and saying only one thing pertained to it. All worked together. But in particular, for the healing of our bodies, we're to look at his broken, the stripes for the healing of our bodies. Mark makes reference to this in the scripture. We have a New Testament scripture on this, Mark chapter 8, verse 14 through 17. You can look at that with me. And then we just want to look at the blood just for a little bit before we have communion together this morning. Hallelujah. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his mother laid and sick of fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that were sick. There's a difference. You cast out devils with the word. In other words, you speak to the devil. Jesus didn't lay hands on them. He spoke and they came out. And that's how you deal with demonic spirits. I said Mark, didn't I? Because I was thinking of Mark. It's so powerful in Mark. I'm sorry. Go to Matthew chapter 8. Thank God for a good wife that pays attention. Why didn't you all say that? You're being respectful, weren't you? You were trying. What? You hear? Okay. So Matthew chapter 8. Verse 14 says this, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all. Everybody say all. Gary does a teaching. He finds seven different places that are different places in the book of Matthew where it says he healed them all or healed. They brought the sick into him and he healed them, meaning all that they brought got healed. You can never find a place in all of the Gospels or any place where that he did not heal them all. So the argument is without argument that every time that you come before the Father or present someone to the Father, it's his perfect will always to heal them all. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Hallelujah. How many of this morning watching, how many of you out there are believing God for something to take place in your body today? Hallelujah. In just a moment, we're going to believe God. In communion, and we'll find out in the scripture in just a moment, what we're supposed to do is to literally, in a sense of the word, in imagery, begin to reimagine and think about what he actually did through his healing stripes. We're to remember his blood is for our forgiveness of sins and the cleansing of our conscience. And of course, as I said, it all works together. Redemption is all, and I'm not trying to limit just one part of it. But the book of Hebrews tells us this. Let's go to the book of Hebrews for just a little bit. We're going to be in a few chapters there for just a little bit. Hebrews. I can't mix that up as Matthew and Mark. By the way, no church tonight. Tomorrow is a holiday, and I hope you have a wonderful Memorial Day. Watch a good war picture and thank God for America. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10. I want us to talk about the blood and what it does for us as in cleansing and also in the remission of sin, so much so that the blood not only is provided for our forgiveness, but it takes the stain out of our conscience. Isn't that wonderful? It really doesn't, it does matter, but it doesn't matter. Whatever you were or whatever you did prior to the blood, the cross, he not only forgives us, but it takes the stain out of the brain. I like that. It washes it so that the conscience is free, because he says here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 4, it says, for the law having a shadow, Paul or whoever wrote Hebrews was trying to convince them there's no replacement for the blood of Christ. You cannot go back to bulls, goats, and animal sacrifice. You have to believe entirely in the blood of Jesus. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. There was no way. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. In other words, if God could have used bulls and goats, it would have never stopped. But there's no way an animal can take the place and do for us what Jesus, the spotless lamb, did for us. Because the worshipers once purged should not have had no more consciousness of sin. So that's the thing. Our sins were not only forgiven, but they were forgiven so much so that God wants to take the stain out of our previous conscience. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance. Back then, in those days, there was a continual remembrance. Okay, I got to go in the day of redemption, the day of atonement, sacrifice these lambs. Every time that happened, I was always continually reminded of my sin. But what he's telling us here in the book of Hebrews is that the blood that we're about to partake of, we do have to stand continually in that blood, but it has washed us. And it will continue to wash us. Why? Because that blood is, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here, is on the mercy seat in heaven. The sacrifices of the law continually reminded the person of their sin nature. Aren't you glad that we don't have to be reminded? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Only a born again spirit, only somebody that's born again can truly forget about their sins. In the sense, it's like, okay, you might remember them, but it's like a dream. Dreams aren't real. Hallelujah. What you once were is no longer real. Hallelujah. Only the reality of who you are now in Christ. Hallelujah. That's good enough to come to church. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9:11 says this. Let's continue to talk about the blood just a little bit. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with hands, that is to say, not this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I don't know how that worked. I don't know how that worked, but Jesus actually, when he ascended to the Father, like the typology of the priest that would go into the Old Testament tabernacle, and they would take the blood that was symbolic of Christ, and they would put it on the mercy seat. And that was, I guess, on the Day of Atonement, and all of Israel would believe that those animals sacrificed would give them another year of pardon. But Jesus, once at the end of the world, there's another scripture here that we might read in just a moment. He himself, when he goes in before the Father, there's an earthly tabernacle and a heavenly. And the Bible says that the one that God told Moses to create is like an exact replica of the one that's in heaven. So evidently, there really literally is a mercy seat. And Christ carries his blood in and presents it to the Father and says, this is for all humanity. Hallelujah. It's for all humanity forever. Praise God. We've been redeemed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The word says here that in 9:13 it says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Only Christ could do it. Only Jesus. Only the sinless Lamb. Hallelujah. Purge your conscience from dead works. Now, the dead works here really is talking about more specifically, and we won't go into it, the dead works that the Jews, they were trying to keep the law. It would only go so far. But it really also compares us or points to the sin that was once in our life. To purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The blood on the mercy seat. Chapter 9, verse 24 says this, for Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are a figure of the true. In other words, there's a true there, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. In other words, if that would have been the case, then Christ would have had to have been crucified over and over again. No, it's once and for all. But now once at the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. When he says the end of the world's not come to an end, but what he's saying, the end of everything culminated in Christ. 4,000 years from Adam to Christ, and however many, this is 2026, however many 2000s there go, I don't think there's going to be too many more, but everything converged back then and in the future. That was the end. God said that's it. It culminates in Christ. All sin is laid on him. He's the spotless Lamb. And everything forever to anyone who ever puts their trust in him in the future or back then and says, Jesus, you are my Lord, I trust in you, it all ended there. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. So God saw that sacrifice. That's the end of all sacrifices. But what about our continual? Because the blood is on the mercy seat, this is where the, God bless them, I pray many of them come out of it. I pray all of them come out of it. But this is where the radical grace people miss it. They don't realize that even though we have been sanctified by the blood, we live in a flesh suit that still has the capacity to sin. It does, if you let it. And like Pastor Dave says, because we've been so set free, if we do, you know, people say, well, I did it because the devil made me do it. He can't make you do anything. The devil can't make you do anything. Well, he did. No, he didn't. You did it because, oh, that was weak. I think we have a group here that hasn't. Pastor Dave said, you did it because you wanted to. Now I'm going to ask you, if you sin now that you've been born again, you did it because? Thank you very much. Wow. Church, are you saved? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We're 1 John saved. Thank God for Gary Carpenter, 25 teachings or however many, broke those down. But the radical grace people, they realize that something culminated in Christ and we can go to that blood and we are forever forgiven. But there really is, we're living in a space suit that can still sin. And if we let it sin and we begin to identify with that sin, then it will begin to so oppress that spirit on the inside of us. And if that happens long enough and you go far enough, that spirit can, according to Jude, become twice dead. In other words, it was dead, then it becomes alive, and then it can die again. And that's sad. That's dangerous. But that's why we have the blood on the mercy seat. Hallelujah. And that's why it's important to go there every day, really, even if you don't, you know, I'm not trying to create a consciousness of sin, but it's so important to realize how available the blood is. Hallelujah. And it makes access to it. Here's the blood on the mercy seat for 1 John 1:5 says this. 1 John 1:5, you can turn there, you can just listen. This then is the message which we have heard. John said this of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness. There's not one twinge of darkness in God. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, each other and God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we say, or cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we do what? If we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A lot of times you'll hear that in a call for salvation. He's talking to born again believers here. The whole book, all 5 chapters, is to born again believers. And he's telling them, if you do sin, don't just chalk it up for experience. Go to the blood. Why? Because the blood is still on the mercy seat. It's always there. Hallelujah. Accessible. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. In other words, if you sin, you say, no, that wasn't a sin. Then that's dangerous, because then you begin to harden your conscience. Just go there. Just say, okay, I did it. I did it. And this is what we should do. Jesus also gave us access in the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer to have a consciousness of that blood on the mercy seat. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, you can just listen as I read this, because we're going to have communion. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, now this is when you pray, and this should be every day, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, magnify, make holy your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And do he included this. Now, he wasn't praying this for himself. He was teaching them. He never sinned. Christ was not praying this for himself, the Lord, the perfect spotless Lamb, but he was teaching us to believe on a daily basis. Forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. You know, you can believe this, the ones you know about and the ones you don't know about. Okay, I didn't do that right, and yet I thought I did it right. He is ever ready to bring forth cleansing by his blood. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand and get ready. Those of you that are home, we're going to, hallelujah. Would you and Mike, please. Now, this morning, can somebody go get the little ones next door? We want them to participate. Those of you that are home, I hope you participate here with us this morning. We're going to receive communion together. Hallelujah. And I'm going to ask all of you, know how we operate around here. You don't have to be a member. Just come and receive the elements, and then we'll pray over them, and then we'll all receive together. I'll give some instruction here in just a little bit. So go ahead. If you'd like to receive, or come ahead, I should say, if you'd like to receive communion with us this morning, and I pray everyone does. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul said this, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do you in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." One of the things that I want you to understand is that he's not just saying here that, yes, there's an application to cleansing ourselves, but part of the reason why these people were not being healed is that they were not discerning. In other words, they were not, if I can use this word, and it's much stronger than this, imagining and looking and saying, Lord, I believe that what you did for me, the blood is my cleansing, and the blood frees me from sin. It frees me from the stain of sin on the brain any longer. But also your body was broken, and I see it, Lord. I receive cleansing presently if I need cleansing. But also I see that, Lord God, your body, Lord Jesus, your body was broken. Imagine his body being broken and seeing that thing that you're believing for in your body being healed this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to also pray a prayer right now. If there's anybody that's watching, I think everybody in here most likely is born again. If there's anybody that's watching, you don't know the Lord. You're not sure. If you were to die today, I was speaking to a man on the sidewalk the other day. I said, do you know the Lord? Yes, I know the Lord. I said, if you died today, would you go? Well, I don't know. I said, well, if you know the Lord, you know. I said, well, you need to go to the blood. You need to ask him to forgive you and not continue to live the life that you're living. But if you don't know the Lord, if you're not sure, here's a good way to know. You die tonight. Are you going to be in heaven? Well, I'm not sure. Well, then you need to pray this prayer. If you're not sure, you need to pray this prayer. Let's all pray this together. And if you mean this, then he'll come in. Say this, Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus came,
that
he
died
for my sins and was resurrected for my eternal life. Father, come into my life. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins and wash me in your blood. I receive you as my Lord and Savior, and I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Now take the body, the broken body, and just, Lord, I just pray over these that as they receive this morning, that they will rightfully discern the Lord's body. And in Jesus' name, they'll receive healing. Father, let us all receive healing for all of our bodies. Jesus, your body was broken for us. Therefore, we receive your healing in Jesus' name. Would you take it together? Would you just lift your hands, or at least a hand that you're not holding the communion cup, and just say, Lord, I thank you that my body is healed. I receive the cure. Lord, you are that cure. I see your broken body, and I see my body healed. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says he took the cup also, and he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Lord, we just right now receive this blood. Cleanse us, forgive us of any sin. Wash us fresh and anew, because the blood is still there. It's still in heaven. It'll never leave. And we thank you for it. Wash us, cleanse us. Let us walk in the sweetness of your victory all the days of our life. And we receive this communion cup together. The blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Harry, lead us, please.